Do you want to find solutions on how to make decisions faster, how to solve problems with your teams, or define a clear strategy that resonates with your staff and customers? There is a workshop for that. Hello there, I'm Nati Ravez, founder of La Workshoppeuse. I'm a collaboration consultant and workshop facilitator, member of an amazing workshopper community. In this podcast, I meet them to get the best advice on facilitation, and I let leaders and managers speak to understand the challenges they are facing. Welcome to the show. Bonjour, everybody. I'm very happy to be here today since we have something to celebrate. My guest, Carla Ramos, has her birthday exactly today, December 9th. So for those of you who are listening at this date, please feel free to send her your wishes via LinkedIn. I'm sure she would be very happy about that. Carla is the founder of Tribe of Agile. She is an experienced Agile coach and trainer. We had a very nice talk about her background, the skills she learned in her first part-time job that have helped her throughout her career. We also talked about why she left her job, her comfort zone at the top of her career, to find out what she really wanted to do. I think this might resonate with some of you who are considering a new path in facilitation, for example. And finally, we talk about how she discovered her passion for agile methodology and eventually started her own business. So stay tuned and have a good listen. Hello, Carla.
Hi, Nati.
What a pleasure to have you with me today on the podcast.
Same here. I'm so excited. We made this work.
We met personally in Italy, and I was so amazed to meet you. You are such a powerful woman, and I simply admire your journey and the career you have built. And this is why I'm very excited to have you here with me today.
Oh, thank you. I don't know about the powerful, but definitely equally excited to be here with you, what you're doing with your company and La Workshoppeuse. I'm totally mispronouncing that. But that's a part of it. So what you're doing with La Workshoppeuse, it's so admirable to see you on LinkedIn and creating your brand and talking about your trajectory. So I'm excited to be here.
Your name is Carla Ramos. You are living in the U.S., close to Miami, if I remember right.
I live in beautiful Miami, Florida.
You are the founder of Tribe of Agile, the mommy of two beautiful girls. How old are your girls?
They are 5. Olivia is 5 and Valentina is 10.
Today, I would love to chat a little bit about your journey. But first, I would like to ask you something personal. How it is for you? You are a businesswoman and to be a mom. How you combined both?
Not always successfully. It's a lot of ongoing work, and it's almost like it's a learn as you go, because each of the girls are very different. And, you know, when you have more than one child, you realize that they just come with their own little book, and you have to adapt to each of them individually and their specific needs. So I have, the older one that she does, equestrian as a sport, and, the little one does dance as a sport. And I want them both to be in those things because of the skills that they're obtaining from them. But I do have a lot of support. My husband is really supportive, and, also my family. So they're definitely grandma's girls, and we just try our best. A lot of planning, a lot of trying to balance, and sometimes just not successfully doing it, but we just, you know, we try our best.
Okay, Carla. So I would love the listeners to hear your journey, because I know a little bit about that, and I would like you to tell us, how does a sales rep go from trading from multi-million dollar clients to software project management to owning at least Tribe of Agile?
Oh boy. So, you know, what I've learned now is, you know, since hindsight is 2020, looking back, I realize that everything kind of comes together like puzzle pieces. you know, and you don't know it while you're on the path. You know, you're just moving forward and you're trying to, it's kind of like parenthood, really, with what I was telling you with the girls. You really just try your best and you learn as you go. And you're just hoping that as you look back, you say to yourself, okay, I did a good job. Or these are the things that led me to get to this place. And I used it as a jumping point to get to the next place. So it's a little bit like, you know, I guess flying blind, and also using a lot of gut instinct to determine this is something that I'm good at, or this is something that I need to work on. So a sales rep, it was a part-time job. It was my first job, and I was working for Staffing Resources of Miami. I was lucky enough to be working for two women that immediately gave me an example of what it's like to own a business and be a single parent like Sandy was, and also be an amazing dedicated mother to two children like Cindy was, and own a very successful business at the time. And so they hired me to do their part-time sales, which included cold calling and included cold calling is basically when you're literally soliciting door to door to sell the staffing services that we had. This was like, I want to say 20 years ago, not to age myself, but that's when I was in college. And it was a great job because I got to go to school full time and then work part time really close to school. And it just gave me insights into like, oh, wow, women do this. This is kind of cool. And Cindy taught me a lot about sales. And we used to go cold calling together from, you know, business to business saying, hey, if you need staffing, here's our brochure, here's a little notebook, here are a little staffing resources mints. And hopefully they would call and then I would earn a 10% commission off of that. And it was great because it was like a little money that, you know, a little bonus money that I wasn't accounting for. So that's how I got started on the sales side. But since I was also going to, I was in my junior year doing a degree in finance, I knew that this wasn't going to be something that I was going to do, you know, when I got out of school. So I started carrying my resume around, and I had a lot of experience with writing resumes because working at a staffing agency, I learned a lot about what to do and what not to do and interviewing. And these were just amazing skills that I learned from watching and doing with the ladies. So looking back now, it was one of the most foundational skills that I earned because it was all about how to get a job. And so I took my resume in, you know, special resume paper with the right fonts and all the best practices that I had learned. And I was cold calling in this 701 Brickell building in downtown. And I saw Smith Barney on the door. And back in the day, if you didn't have an appointment to go visit in some of these buildings, it would purely say no soliciting. But sometimes I managed to like sneak into the elevator, which is what I did that day. And I went up to Smith Barney and my heart was just beating because this wasn't going to be just a regular soliciting call, right? And I had my resume. I went to the receptionist and I said, oh, hi, we offer staffing services. Here's, you know, our little brochure if you'd like to call us. But also I am a college student. I am in my junior year and I have a finance, you know, track. And I wanted to know if there were any internship opportunities. And I have my resume and my cover letter just in case, you know, if there's any opportunity, then please feel free to reach out or whatever. And I didn't think anything of it. It was the reception is always my safe place, you know, but also my hopeful place that they will pass it to the right person. So I left. And about a week later, the lady called me and it was the same lady that was in the reception. And then she said, hi, I saw that you came in. You know, I was wearing my little business suit and I'm actually not the receptionist. I'm the office administrator. And I really like the way you presented yourself. So I'd like to interview you to be my assistant. Oh man, Nati, I was like, what are the odds? She was filling in for the receptionist while she was at lunch. Okay. So that's how I was able to meet with her directly.
And you didn't know?
I had no idea.
You had no clue.
I had no idea. I always treated any reception with a lot of kindness because being a sales rep, you don't always get treated kindly.
Yeah.
So this is a moment where I was like, you know, this is where kindness goes a long way. And so she interviewed me and I began working for her. I filled in for the receptionist moving forward when she was at lunch and vacation. And slowly but surely, well, actually pretty quickly, within 6 months of working at Smith Barney, I started studying for my Series 7, which is my trading license. I got sponsored by Smith Barney, which is now Morgan Stanley. Then I started working for my first set of brokers. I started trading for them, opening up applications for all of our clients that were in Latin America. We focused a lot on the BRIC. And the rest is history. Fast forward. And that's how it started.
But I know that you decided to leave the place after a while and take a break.
Yes.
To revisit yourself. You told me that this is a lot of completely out of the comfort zone to do something like this. And I know that a lot of people are thinking about this, dreaming about this, but not do this. Yeah. But you did. You did. I mean, you had the perfect work, actually, and you left.
Yeah.
Just left.
Yeah.
How did you use this time?
I don't want to underestimate the fact that it was really difficult for me to do that because it would be a disrespect to my journey, you know, and I like to plan everything out. I like to know, you know, I like to be that person that budgets things and saves and all that. So this time in my life was really, it was just something that brought a lot of uncertainty and anxiety as well. But I knew I wasn't happy. And looking around, now that, you know, fast forward 7 years, I had been working in wealth management and I was working for an amazing team. Now I was working for, UBS and, I was planning my wedding at the time and I remember saying, I'm making so much money and everything is just checks in the boxes, right? But as I looked around me, I worked for three men and who were phenomenal, you know, but I didn't really see any women that I aspired to be like in the future. And representation is so important because it gives you, for me, for people like me, it gives us something to look forward to, just the way that I had with Cindy and Sandy. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't see that. There were only like among the, I think it was 50 brokers, 50 high earning, high power brokers that we had. Maybe there were two women and those women had, they were married to their work and they didn't have any children and they were always traveling. They lived on a plane. And I was like, man, I don't see myself growing in that way. And so it was a calculated, gap in my life where I stopped working and I decided to go get, my master's degree. While I was a trader, I used to divide things into small projects with every client whenever we were doing their, you know, their analysis, their investment analysis. And at the time, Venezuela was shifting its, you know, whole government structure. And we treated that as a big project because a lot of people were leaving the country. There was you know, Swiss accounts were becoming alerted because now some of them were U.S. citizens and they weren't allowed to have Swiss accounts. So this huge project, I naturally fell into it because my clients had most of their clients in Venezuela. So I was leading that effort and I remember how passionate I was about making sure that that project was really organized. And so when mm-hmm. I took the break, I decided to go to Spain and do a master's in digital marketing. I was actually going to go do an MBA, and I got everything was set, and then I got pregnant. And so when I got pregnant, I was like, surprise, I can't do the MBA anymore. And that's when I went to a shorter term thing, for the master's in digital marketing. And so it was a phenomenal experience. I was pregnant the whole time. And, I tell my daughter that she did her master's also, and she, you know, rolls her eyes. And that's when I decided to get that higher education. I've always respected higher education. So that was that break that I very much needed. It was a 2-year break.
But it was a good decision, actually.
Looking back, not at the time. At the time, I was freaking out. But yes, yes, yes.
If you'd like to join me for a podcast episode or discuss the challenges you face at work and how I can help, book a free call or send me an email. All the contact information is in the show notes. I would like to know, what challenges did you see in the organizations that led you to create a Tribe of Agile?
Yeah, so I guess kind of to follow the thread of this whole journey that I've been on. After I did the master's, I went and got a temporary job to manage a project that was similar in a bank, which is now called Amerant. Mm-hmm. And they brought me in because I had the experience from Venezuela, but it was more project management, no wealth management. So it was a bit of a change, but I was open to it because I really didn't know where my career would take me. And this is that mm-hmm. tug and pull of that constant, I want to say, synergy that exists sometimes within the universe, where you're just kind of like, sometimes I have to push for things that I want, and other times I just have to let go and see where
everything
is, you know, the path.
Everything is coming. Yeah.
And so it was that moment where I was just kind of open and receptive, unlike the Smith Barney, where I was more focused on, let me push towards this. And so I went into this engagement. And so once I got in there, they shifted me over to the project management team. And there was this great manager that I had, her name is Claudia. And she taught me that gap that existed between my knowledge of project management and wealth management. And the first project she gave me was an implementation of the Bloomberg portal for the bank's wealth management team. It was an order placing portal, a traders, which was perfect, because I was like, this is it. This is like a perfect sync. And so I began there. That was my first project. And I stayed at Amerant for about, each project became more and more challenging, and they gave me more responsibilities. And so, this was that combination of finance and technology, which I really loved. So I stayed on the finance side of things, but also incorporating project management. And in my last project at Mercantile, it was a pretty long project, very complex. The vendor that we had worked with was a software as a solution, and they were completely agile. And so I had the opportunity to continue working in a waterfall environment, but also incorporate an agile, you know, methodology for the vendor. And that was my exposure to agile. And I fell in love. It was amazing. And so we brought from the vendor, we brought a lot of agile methodologies over to the bank wherever we could see fit. And, that's how it all kind of fell into place with. And then you asked me about the challenges. The challenges are no different than what I see now. The challenges that we try to solve for in Tribe are specific to what a lot of organizations go through, whether it be, where are we pacing towards our vision? what are the metrics mm-hmm. that are holding up that vision? What are the quantitative and qualitative metrics? What is our product? Who's our persona? Who are we targeting? Has that persona changed? You know, is our user the same person as our customer? And what are their different needs? And so through Tribe, we come in from an outside perspective, not with the solution, but to extract that yeah. from the subject matter experts.
You are using all what you know about agile methods, but I know that because we met in a facilitation retreat, I know that you are going deeper into facilitation or workshops facilitation. Can you tell me why you went through this workshop and master program, for example, from a Jane yeah. Smart, or what is interesting in it, or is it completing the know-how you have in mm-hmm. Agile? When are you doing some combination of everything?
Yeah. So, I had actually found out about AJ and Smart through their funnel. And I was doing at the time a design sprint with another client, and we were developing an application. We were doing an MVP, and we were trying to determine product market fit. And so we decided to do a design sprint. And so I came doing research for that. I came across the sprint book by Knapp, this one right here. And so I used it as, you know, as a reference throughout the workshop. The difference between this book that I followed and the typical agile-led workshops that I did wasn't really all that much, except for the fact that they used an agile methodology or mindset, let's say, but it was very specific to product and MVPs. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was great mm-hmm. to solve for that with that book. And so once I started going into that, I started reading more about it. And then Jonathan's funnel, the video sales funnel that he has came up. And I was like, oh, wow. And so with another client that was actually going through a challenge of restructuring their... the challenge that they were going through is they were changing their vision for year 2023. And so they wanted to make sure that they had the correct strategic themes to support that vision. And mm-hmm. so I spoke to my client and I said, I can facilitate agile workshops, but I want to get more informed as to like activities and things that I can do that are specific to product. And so I came across the workshopper.com site, and then I came across the website. And I was like, I really want to take this class. So as I started taking the class, they mentioned, oh, we're going to have our retreat. And I was like, is there any more space? And it was really just a long shot, because I didn't think it was only a month away. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to leave for Italy within 4 weeks. Like, it wasn't even in my plans. But Sean, who is a great strategic thinker with me, he works with AJ and Smart. He's more than a salesperson. He is a true strategist. And so when I spoke to him, yeah. he was like, this is a good one for you, Carla. And now I'm going to be there. Let's meet. And the rest was history. That's how I got into it.
And I'm glad that you were here, because we met there. I think it was a dinner. We were face to face, and we could have a little chat. And now we are here 1 month later recording this podcast. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And I love it. I love what you're doing. This is great.
It's so nice. So Carla, I have one last question. So what impact do you think what you are doing will have on the future of your children, of your two girls?
Oh gosh, I can talk all day about agile, you know, and I can talk to you about workshops instead of meetings and strategic road mapping. This one is very personal because it's my girls, and I think every parent will tell you that, you know, what they do is a lot of what determines what they do is always thinking about their children, right? With my girls, I guess I just, it's that courage to, you know, say, I am good enough to do this, because I need to make sure that when I tell them that, that they can believe it. And so this whole business that I've had for 2 years, Tribe has been around for 2 years, and it has evolved in its business value proposition. It's evolved with the products that we offer. And it's very intentional in its evolvement with me and without me. Some of the things I determine, other things are determined for me. I think I do that because I want them to know my mom can do it. So can I, you know, like a lot of times when you hear leaders, they'll say, I had a good example with my parents. And my girls, I take it extra personal because they're girls. And so, you know, a lot is riding on it. I think a lot of us put ourselves a lot of pressure, to say, man, I don't want this to fail because I don't want to look bad. You know, in my case, I don't want to look bad in front of my children. So that's, you know, it's not a pressure thing, but it's certainly an underlying feeling that I have where, you know, this is what drives me. I want to make sure that they have a world where they can feel like they can do it. They can do whatever they choose to do.
And you are an absolutely great example, Carla.
Thank you.
Carla, thank you very much for this interview. It was such a pleasure to chat with you. I'm sure we will meet in the next 2 years in the US, I hope. And maybe you will...
More than two. Shorter, I hope. I hope next year.
Next year? Okay, next year. Yeah. Deal. Next year, 2023, I hope we will see us in the US.
Yes.
And thank you very much for today. And I wish you a nice week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nati. Bye-bye.
Carla partners with software enterprise clients to build and facilitate agile workshops that enable teams to solve problems and make decisions. Ultimately, Tribe helps people get stuff done. So if you want to learn more, contact Carla or Tribe of Agile by filling out a form at tribeofagile.com. Using Calendly to schedule time or connect with Carla directly on LinkedIn. My next guest, Mariusz Pozadowski, is a product designer who has developed an online course called Collect Feedback Workshop. He is also an Instagram star with 35,000 followers on his account uxwork.space. We will talk about how he developed his Instagram community and how he changed the work culture in the company he works in by implementing the workshop spirit. Until then, I wish you health, success, and happiness. Au revoir.